Sri Bhagavan's frugality and glance of grace, continued from the May-June issue. Sri Kunjiswamy here concludes his inspiring interview by describing the circumstances under which Sri Bhagavan, after his mother's samadhi, came to stay permanently at the foot of the hill. He shares several instances that highlight Sri Bhagavan's well-known frugal habits. The grandeur of Sri Ramana's glance of grace, which Sri Kunjiswamy experienced directly, stilled the minds of his devotees, human and animal alike. This entire interview in Tamil, conducted in 1989, is available on Arunachala Ashrama's YouTube channel. Sadayappa Chettiar, the trustee of the Draupadi temple and younger brother of the lady who had built the thatched shed over Mother's shrine, came to know that Bhagavan had come down from the hill. His sister was an old lady and could not climb up to Skandashramam to visit Bhagavan. Sadayappa Chettiar wanted to bring his sister here for Bhagavan's darshan. He went to town to get her. She came with a cart load of provisions and pleaded with Bhagavan to stay and accept her bhiksha. Ganapati Muni, who was at Skandashramam, heard about this and came down after lunch. Whenever he came, he would have at least an hour's discussion with Bhagavan on various subjects. Upon hearing that Nayana had come, others also came and seated themselves in front of Bhagavan and Nayana. It soon became dark, as there were no torch lights, and as Bhagavan did not go up the hill through the town, it was decided he would spend the night near the shrine and go up the next morning. In the morning, when we were ready to go, Bhagavan's sister Alamelu Amma and her husband Pichu Iyer arrived with provisions and wanted to offer bhiksha to Bhagavan. So he stayed on. Ramakrishna Swami, realizing that Bhagavan must not be returning, brought Bhagavan's kaupina and other things down from Skandashramam. Bhagavan took a bath in the stream. He used to bathe in cold water in those days. For the next 6 to 10 days, someone or the other was offering bhiksha. So Bhagavan stayed on at the foot of the hill. Chinnaswamy wanted Gopal Rao and me to stay at Skandashramam to guard the property, saying he would send us food. We stayed up there for 8 to 10 days. Then it occurred to me that I had come here to be near Bhagavan and not to guard some property. I came down that very evening. Chinnaswamy wanted to know why we had come away. I told him how I felt, but also agreed to go back the next morning. The following day, before I could go up, someone came down and said that all the things at Skandashramam had been stolen. Bhagavan said, "Now there is no more need for anyone to go and protect the place." This remark told us that Bhagavan approved of staying on at the foot of the hill. Thus, there was no question of Bhagavan's being invited to stay on. It all happened in the most natural way. Bhagavan's frugality. Yes, Bhagavan's frugality must be mentioned. he was very particular that we should not ask anyone for anything. When we were at Skandashramam, kerosene oil used to cost only one anna. Even then, Bhagavan would insist that we all eat at 5 p.m. so that there would be no need to use the kerosene lamp. Even the spinach that we used would be cut in 3 parts by Bhagavan. The leaves would be used as curry or vegetable. The stems would be put in sambar and the roots ground, extracting the juice for rasam. Nothing should be wasted. This was Bhagavan's principle. He used to explain to us that it is the root of this spinach that contains the essence and gives strength. When using eggplant, he never discarded the top, which was thrown away by others. Instead, he would make use of them and show us how we should be frugal, and also show us how it would be good for our health. I will tell you one incident. It is very difficult to grind the roots of spinach. So one day, we took the roots and buried them near the Goshala, cow shed. Bhagavan had gone that way, and on his way back, he noticed something sticking out of the ground. He dug it up with his stick, picked up all the roots that we had discarded, washed them clean, and then started grinding them himself. When Bhagavan started grinding those roots, I volunteered that I had buried the roots since we felt that grinding them was too much work. He smilingly mocked my cleverness. We never did anything like that again. Bhagavan would never ask somebody why he had done something. He would never reprimand anyone. He taught us a more powerful lesson through his actions. Bhagavan used to come into the kitchen through the storeroom. If there was even a grain of rice or dal on the floor, he would bend down, pick it up, and put it back in its container. By demonstration, he taught us the importance of frugality. This was an everyday occurrence, and it was practical teaching for us about the importance of perfection and frugality. In those days, tooth powder used to be made in the ashramam, and even in that, he taught us a lesson. If we gave him too much tooth powder, he would make use of a little and give the rest back in a packet with the instruction that it should be given to him the next day. It was a sight to watch Bhagavan apply vibhuti, sacred ash, to his forehead without spilling anything on the ground. He would tilt his forehead back and then apply the vibhuti so that even if some vibhuti fell, it would fall upon his shoulders and he could then reapply it. It was very illuminating to see Bhagavan teaching us in this practical way. While writing with a pen or pencil, Bhagavan would not use a pad or a notebook on which to rest the paper, but use his own thigh instead. It was a glorious sight to see Bhagavan write using his thigh as a table. He had a small pencil. Even if we kept it away, he would ask for it specifically and not allow us to throw it away. If he were offered a new one, he would not accept it. Such was his attitude, not only with the pencil, but also with ink-filled pens, which would last a long time with Bhagavan. He would use the flashlight only when absolutely essential. If we put the beam far ahead of us, he would say, why do you waste the flash? We need only 2 or 3 feet of light. He used the flashlight sparingly so that batteries lasted him 8 or 9 months. Bhagavan's glance of grace. Everyone knows that Bhagavan would bless his devotees through his glance of grace. He himself has written that the Guru's grace flows through 3 channels, look, thought, and touch. Initiation by look, thought, and touch has been described in all our scriptures. In Kaivalya Navanita, this is described with the analogy of a tortoise, hen, and fish. The tortoise, after laying eggs on the shore, returns to the water and, standing on its head, thinks continuously and relentlessly about the eggs on the shore and hatches them. This is how the thinking process works. The hen, after laying the eggs, sits on them and by touch hatches them. The fish lays the eggs and then just looks at them and hatches them. The baby fish then swim towards the mother fish. These are the 3 types of initiation, as Bhagavan never touched or thought about anyone. He conveyed his powerful instructions only through his glance of grace. This is the glory of his Divya Drishti, divine look. Those who moved with Bhagavan know the power of this look. Even animals became peaceful when they came near him. Bhagavan's grace flowed through his eyes, and those who received it were very fortunate. Muruganar has sung it in a verse which is literally true. There are a number of photographs of Bhagavan. Have you seen even one with closed eyes? He was pouring his grace through his eyes. There would be a number of people sitting in the hall, and each one felt that Bhagavan was looking only at him or her. Bhagavan's drishti concentrated only on space. His drishti was turned inwards so that everyone felt in their heart that he was pouring his grace upon them. Since Bhagavan was not looking at any particular person, everyone felt that he was looking directly at them. Bhagavan cared about everyone, and his look pierced each one's heart, dispelling darkness, giving peace, and for some, even liberation. Sri Kunja Swami concluded the interview by singing verse 7 from Sri Arunachala, Navamani Malai, Anamalai, as soon as thou didst claim me, my body and soul were thine. Can I then lack anything? I can think only of thee hereafter, not of merit and demerit. Oh, my life, do as thou wilt with me, then, my beloved, but grant me only ever increasing love for thy dear feet.